Turn it up.
Get ready.
You're tuned in to VO Buzz Weekly.
The show where aspiring voice actors,
established VO pros,
and curious fans alike get to meet and learn.
From the mega successful talent in voiceover.
Hear their personal stories.
Find out how they became so successful.
Learn their secrets and join them at the top.
Seriously Buzzed with your hosts, Chuck Duran and Stacey J. Aswan.
Hey everybody, I'm Stacey J.
And I'm Chuck Duran.
Welcome to part two with Paul Pape. Here we go.
For those that don't really know about the lab, the voiceover lab, can you tell us a little bit about the lab, how it got started, and why we even do the poker tournament for the lab?
Okay. Well, I should probably segue a little bit and say that, you know, I had the great privilege of, for about 31 years, of knowing Don LaFontaine.
The real king.
Yeah, the real king.
The real king. The king.
The undisputed
king. The undisputed.
Yeah. And, you know, we met actually when I had done Saturday Night Fever, and he was working at Paramount. He was the voice of Paramount, and that's a whole funny story in itself.
Yeah.
But we can go back to that. I want to answer your question. But Don and I were friends for a long time.
Yeah.
And I actually got into voiceovers during a brief period when we weren't in contact. Then I got back in contact with him, and he was delighted to hear that I was doing it. And there was no greater champion the rest of my life than him. So, but he was the man for all those years.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And he passed away in 2008. He was the man on so many levels.
Yeah.
And, not just on the voiceover level, but probably one of the most generous people, my brother, the man that taught me so much, my mentor, and to many people.
Many
that have
people.
Done well in this business.
Of course.
He's the guy.
Yeah.
And he passed away. Mm-hmm. And I was there, and I swore to him that I was going to figure out a way to make sure that he was remembered. And I did not want him to be forgotten for the man that he was, not just for his accomplishments.
Of course.
And we were looking for a way after that, his wife Nita and I and some other groups of other people. Vanessa Gilbert, who's his agent, who's also my agent for 18 years. And we were all just trying to find a way. We were kind of at a loss trying to figure out how do we keep him alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What he represented. And we had a couple of different ideas. We had a couple of false starts. And suddenly I had, this idea came to me that I knew some folks at the foundation, SAG Foundation, and I said, what about a voiceover lab, about an idea where we can teach this craft and help prepare the next generation, which is exactly what he did with his limo rides and all the other things
so
that
generous,
he did
during,
while he was here. And it just struck a chord. And I'd like to say it was my idea, but I really prefer to say that it was his idea. And he put it in my head, probably because after he left, he figured out no other way he could torture me than another come down and put the, as if I didn't have enough to do, he decided to visit this on me.
Yeah.
And it rang true. So I started putting out feelers, and a couple of the people that I put out feelers to were Joe Cipriano and George Widom, who had built his studio.
Yeah. Yes.
And then also to Vanessa and to George DeLoyal and people like that. Well, Joe and George were all over it. And so we became, and everybody else was too, but these two guys in particular said, what can we do? And it was the perfect trio to be taking this on.
Yeah.
Because we all had different strengths that we brought to the game.
Right.
Joe, as you know, is, you know, he's such a great front man, Mr. Radio, you know. Yep. In fact, on this show, what two words are spoken more than the three words of VO Buzz Weekly? It's got to be Joe Cipriano, isn't it?
It's true.
Those are the two words spoken more.
Yeah, he's always there. We
Joe.
Love him.
And well deserved.
Yeah.
And he is just such a cheerleader for anything that is advancing the cause, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And George is so technically adept.
Yep.
And, you know, I had my own impetus and reasons for wanting to do this, and it was in my heart that I wanted to honor my friend, and I knew my share of folks, and And suddenly this thing came together. I think we raised $75,000 in the first weekend we were out there doing it. We ultimately ended up raising $250,000. And what we wanted to build was a facility that would not only be a teaching facility, but a nerve center for the voiceover, where we could bring top professionals together. They could talk about the things that affect voiceover artists.
Yeah.
This information could then be called and taken to negotiating committees. Finally, maybe the voiceover community could have its own voice in Don's name.
Yep.
Right.
Well, cut to today. We opened in 2010. We had some growing pains. And now that place is just...
It's rocking.
It is so rocking.
Yeah.
We've got people like... so many people coming in to speak, yourselves included, or our partner engaged in supporting it. We've got an advisory board of 22 of the top voiceover artists in this business, of which I'm grateful to every single one of you guys. And we're friends. We're all committed to the same cause. The foundation's on board with us. We have this facility now that is really... truly dedicated to the development and success of voiceover artists.
Yeah.
We are, it's the first of its kind anywhere. It's doing so well that plans are being made now to do one in New York, possibly Chicago and other cities.
That's fantastic.
So yeah.
We have a really good thing going.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we developed, we wanted early on, was that it be available to everybody.
Yeah.
So while it is a SAG Foundation facility, they're not aligned with the union necessarily. They're not the same. They're different entities.
Okay.
Right.
And I'm lucky, and I'm also fortunate to serve on the board, so I can speak to that, but of the foundation. But union actors get priority to come in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also available to non-union if there's open.
That's fantastic.
And the idea is that we become an ambassadorship for what union membership can create, and which is a big thing going on right now, because I think union membership's under attack and our need to protect our skills in this and not give it to the lowest bidder or whatever.
I think this is
a very important point.
Absolutely, man.
So we're out there to try to develop professionals that are worth paying a worthy dollar for.
Now,
I wanted to remind people, because some people have kind of just found VOBUS Weekly, is episodes 34 and 35, we did a tribute to Don LaFontaine.
At the lab.
At the lab with Paul, with Joe Cipriano, with Nita Whitaker LaFontaine, Don's wife, and his agent, Steve Tischerman. So you guys should check that out, because you can see the lab.
Absolutely.
And you can also hear more. Wonderful. You guys were so great. I mean, it just really gave people a feeling like...
Absolutely. Yeah, it was very, very touching.
Don,
if you don't know Don...
check out 34 and 35.
You get to know him pretty, pretty well.
Yeah.
That's good. Thanks for bringing that up. And the other thing is that I wanted to say is, does somebody who is not union or is union, if they wanted to go to the lab and work on some voiceover skills or whatever, do they have to pay for that?
There's a very modest fee that a non-union actor has to pay.
Okay.
And if there's an but if there is an opening there for them, they're free. Don did not care if you were union, non-union.
Right.
He didn't care if you had one credit or 500 credits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you were interested, he felt there was a place for everybody in this business.
Wow. So this lab was founded and made to help you, the voice actor, who's rising up through the trends here, to go in there and practice and record and do sessions. They're set up for ISDN.
Oh, and it's state of the art, so you really get the feeling like you are in a professional booth. The engineers, your staff there is so Eric.
Fantastic.
I mean, they're so great.
Really cool.
Eric and Mike Farella and Mickey and they get it. You know, we were wanted a very specific mindset. We wanted it to be welcoming. It's called a lab for a reason.
Yeah.
Come in, make your mistakes here.
Yeah.
This isn't an audition environment.
Exactly.
If you fall on your face,
that's what it's
this
made
is
for.
Why it's here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Come in and find out, explore your signature voice, explore your various, that's what it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some people that have really developed nicely in this time.
Absolutely.
Really,
I know
a few of them.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So if you guys go to sagfoundation.org, you can check out more about the poker tournament and about the lab.
Yes.
Right.
And take advantage.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully coming soon to a city near you.
Exactly. Okay, Paul, you have this career that has had so many different eras and elements. What do you think have been some keys to your longevity, to your success?
Well, I don't know that I actually know an actual answer for that. I can tell you how I personally approach it.
Mm-hmm.
Betty Davis had a saying, in our business, you need to be lucky. If you're not lucky, get lucky. Mm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I got, I mean, I was lucky to know a lot of the people I do. Obviously, I was very lucky to know Don, you know.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that I got into voiceovers during a period when we weren't friends.
Well, you didn't
but
know, no, kind
of, kind of, but right. We were really close friends before that and then after. I think the main thing is that maybe because of my experience with Saturday Night Fever and the fact that it got away from me and that I wasn't prepared for it that first time around,
mm-hmm.
I think when I recovered and got my bearings, I wasn't a person to self-destruct or do that. So, and I got my bearings, I got my act, and I worked hard. Ever since I've, you know, put myself on firm ground again, I never take anything for granted. I'm forever grateful to have be able to do what I do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And I never stop trying to figure out a way that I can be better, you know, whether it be technically better or now that we have to be, you know, have the equipment and all that. So I'm constantly looking for ways to improve, to be better, even in the ADR, which I've done forever. And there are times I'll go into a job and go, been there, done that, know so much more than the people I'm working for, even it'd be so easy to cop an
just
attitude.
Fall again, yeah.
And I sit there and I go, no, because there's some young person in the room who's just starting that's looking to me as an example.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a, you know, I have an obligation. And so now I find myself doing a lot with some young person that I really believe in, who really wants it. I find myself taking
paying
them
it
under
forward,
their wing.
Yeah.
And nice. I do the same thing at the lab. I teach.
You are passing it on.
Yeah.
Well, you do
well,
a lot
I was,
of
well,
panel moderating.
You had a good teacher.
Yeah.
I had a good teacher.
Yeah. But you do a lot of panel moderating, and I've heard you're a great moderator.
You know.
And that's a skill that, oh my gosh, can take a panel in one direction or another. You're very, very good at that.
Yeah.
And you do some, I mean, you don't call yourself a teacher, but you do teach a lot at the lab, and you do give back a lot, which...
Yeah, I like that part of it. You know, I like the paying it forward concept,
yeah.
You know. And I'm not, I learned, you know, from, again, I think I learned this from Don. He said, you can't be afraid of the competition. You need to embrace them. There's a place for everybody that's good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you're afraid of it, then you're not part of it.
Now, those are some pretty good words of wisdom right there in of seven. But do you think that Don ever said anything to you that you really held on, that helped you actually become better or be stronger or just a better voice actor?
Well, there are two things that always strike chords to me. Outside of the fact that for 31, most of the 31 years, all we did was abuse each other. But
you guys
give each other, we just...
yeah, constantly. Like brothers, yeah.
Yeah, you talk to Nita, she just couldn't believe it at the time, but that was our thing. But yes, he told me to really fall in love with words.
With words.
Yeah. I came from the theater. I loved Cyrano de Bergerac, and so did he. And... we would recite passages to it from each other, or we'd look at each other and go, something was done with panache or something, you know.
Right.
And he was such, he always kept poetry, I don't know if you know this, right near his mic in his studio. So in between takes or in between sessions, he'd pull out, he was constantly reading poetry.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
He truly had a love affair with, and he was a voracious reader.
Yeah.
That guy could knock off 10, 15 books a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just constantly read. And he taught me about having a love affair with language. And it's paid off in ADR in a big way, too.
Yeah.
Because it's allowed me to go and venture into a lot of areas and styles and my reading. And I have an interest in a lot of different areas, so different periods and historical things, which all pays off in ADR, depending on the world you live in.
Sure.
The other thing he taught me was as a person, and that is you're going to do times in your life when you think you got no gas left in the tank. You just got nothing left. He said, those are the times when you have to keep on giving to other people and to yourself, taking care of yourself, because it will come back to you and in ways you could never imagine.
Wow. Now that's belief right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? Those are true words.
Absolutely.
Because it's so easy to get hung up in your own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And not to get maudlin or sad about this, but it's so easy when we get stuck in something to get down or to...
Sure.
And if you can find a way to go out there and continue to do something for other people, or find a way to give what you do have, because we all have something to give. We all have something we can offer to this
world.
We're
giving right now.
Well, I don't care if it means going to the mission, whatever. We've got something.
Yeah.
It gets you outside of yourself. It gives you a life outside of the world that you have to live in within your own body. And it gives you something to live for. And, you know...
Well, and that's such a common theme throughout the voiceover business with you, with so many people that have sat where you are. It's a very generous community. It's a very extend a hand and help somebody along. And I think that that's, right. And I think you ended up in the very right place, because I think that's a part of just who you are as a person, too.
Oh, thanks. But I appreciate that. That's a very nice thing to say. But I think there's an awful lot of people, like, say, involved with the lab that mm-hmm. are bringing such a great sense of community. Yeah. George DeLoyo is probably he's got one of the most heartfelt people I know, and yet one of the most humble people I know.
Yeah.
And he's an awesome voice, you know. Yeah. Scott Rummel, just outstanding individual. Randy Thomas, that woman can just not do enough. I mean, she is like a whirlwind of stuff when she gets going.
Yeah.
And we all come at it from different directions and in different styles. Some come out of radio, like Joe and Randy. George and I come out of the theater. But the great thing about this community of voiceover people, when we land in this world, mm-hmm. you know, because I think maybe because there's the lack of a camera there. I came out of a world, you know, I originally had cameras, so I'm not worried about that. But there's that lack of a camera. The ego kind of goes away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it becomes about, you know, the voice of the, you know, there are some, I've met some terrific people I didn't know before. This Scott Brick. Great guy.
Yeah,
awesome guy.
Love Scott.
You know, they are just some people that I have encountered as a result of Townsend Goldman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stu Herrera, who you had on your show. Mm-hmm. These are just quality, really solid people.
Yeah.
And they have come together. We've kind of coalesced through this thing, you know. And somehow we've become the nucleus. And these are all really successful people. The nucleus of this place that is now able to kind of back up the rest of the community.
Yep.
We feel like we're doing a good thing.
Yep.
And now with the sense of family that we were hoping for in the voiceover community, it's really taking root.
Totally.
Well, and it's exciting.
We're visible. All of a sudden we're visible.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's exciting to see what the hub here is going to do in other parts of the country for other voice actors who are in other parts of the country to really bring it together. I mean, technology is helping that. But what you guys are doing over there is just... amazing.
We're big fans, man.
It's such a privilege to be a part of it.
And we are of you. You guys are doing a great service. You're all over the world now, for God's sake.
We are. We're happy about that.
Let us not underestimate
And we sound better now with Sennheiser.
Yes.
Yes.
And Neumann. See him right there?
Sennheiser,
you can't
Neumann,
even, these things are so little. Yeah, they're so little, you can't even see
them. This segment is brought to you by Sennheiser.
Anyways.
And we mean it. We're not just playing it.
No, we're not playing it. This is a real thing.
We're taking the show on the road. Yeah. We're cleaning it up here, man.
But we got to pay kudos also, you know, in terms of the lab. We've had, speaking of manufacturers, every major manufacturer has jumped in, and Sennheiser Neumann among them. Mm-hmm. You know, all the major microphone, BSW Broadcast Supply Worldwide has been so generous in giving us equipment. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all part of the whole nucleus that is beginning, you know?
Yeah.
And we all started somewhere. And that's a common theme to all of us. None of us had a lot of credit starting out.
No.
We all had to get out somewhere, you know? And anyway, we'll wrap up with that. But I think we all have that common belief in the voiceover community. Those of us that had succeeded, that without people like Don, we wouldn't have had our opportunities, or mm-hmm. without somebody supporting us.
Somebody there.
Yeah.
Somebody being there for us.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Pape. Got formal there.
Well, I am the king after all.
You are the king after all. See, now he's starting to get it.
No.
King Pape.
King Pape.
True or false?
Lightning is going to strike me at any second. Good.
True or false? You co-wrote, directed, and starred in a short film with your best friend, Don LaFontaine, called Interrogation.
True.
True.
Please expand.
Expand.
Well, we did a million little video projects during the years. It was kind of a joke, anything.
Well, and his home movies were,
constantly doing things. If I wasn't in them with him, I was running the camera. I mean, this was just a constant thing with us. So this was nothing new for us. But around, I think it was 2006, this idea came up. There was this film festival called the 168 Film Festival.
Yeah.
Which is actually, it's a Christian film festival.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that was wonderful. Don was a church-going guy. But what appealed to us about it is that we had 168 hours to put a movie together. So it was our version of The Amazing Race, you know. And we got together, and we got together with Josh Daugherty, who you might know, who's on our advisory board. And I was just getting to know Josh. And so Don and I said, okay, we're in. So we wanted to produce this thing and help write it, and we wanted to act, come up with something to act. Well, it was a little bit of a thing. They drew a Bible verse that they gave you, and then you were off to the races. So you really didn't know what you were doing. So we finally got our Bible verse, and Don says, okay, we got to work on this. And I said, okay. So he goes, meet me at the Mondrian. I'm like, what? So I'm at the Mondrian. You walk in the lobby, you know, it's all the Euro hip people in the sky bar. And,
yeah.
You know, you've probably been there.
Millions of times.
So I go up to his room. Now, we're here to work on a script for a Christian film festival. Mm-hmm. And I walk in, and there's our cigars laid out and our vodka and, you know. And now he's going, we're not leaving here.
Dawn style.
We're not leaving until we got a script. So typically, if he and I, we took this thing, kid you not, Josh will tell you about this. We literally came up with two different scripts, two different ideas. It was only a 14-minute movie. And we weren't making up our mind over which way to go. So we brought Josh in, who was at some bachelor party, and he walks in, and he's sort of been having a good time, too. And he walks in, and he can't decide. He finally picks the one that Don wanted to go with. But sure enough, over the next couple of days, it morphed into a hybrid of both of ours. Cool. And it was the story about, based on a true story that a friend of ours, Paul Gannis, had been through. His son had aplastic anemia as a very young boy, which is a form of blood cancer.
Yeah.
A very serious situation. And we knew them very well. And Don and I, risk takers that we were, said, you know, let's talk to Paul and see, because he's an actor, see if he'd be willing to go there with us and we'll tell this story allegorically, you know. So what we ended up doing was a little movie, a 14-minute movie, that starred the entire family, including Tyler the boy. And Don and I, we thought, the basic premise is, what would a man think? You know, what is the cost of playing God? His son was taking these awful, painful treatments that lasted 8 hours. What if he was tortured? He said there were times he wanted to go out and throw himself under a bus. And we said, what goes through a man's mind during that process? So Don was basically the bad angel. I was the good angel. But it seemed like Don was the good angel. Mm-hmm. He was convinced, let him go. You know, let him die. Let him die. And I'm the one that's telling Don to back off. You know, give this guy. And I appear to be the bad guy. So what you had was this war that was actually all in
going in
Paul's
mind.
And then he comes out of it at the end. I won't, you know, take away. If you ever want to see it, you can see it online. But and it struck a chord with people. We were nominated for 12 nominations at that first festival. We won the jury award for excellence. Don and I were both nominated for best supporting actor that year. And the picture went on to other film festivals. We actually ended up at the Palm Springs. We got as far as the Palm Springs Festival, which is a really big short film festival. That was the last major thing we ever did together, and then we did screenings at Raleigh Studios and stuff. But yeah, that was a big deal.
Can we check that out if we wanted to see that?
I can get you a copy of it.
You can get me a copy.
Sure, I can get you a copy.
Can you get the world a copy, or where can they check it out?
Yeah,
that's a lot of copies.
I think it's on Vimeo and a few other places.
Okay.
You know, we didn't sell short films. Are hard to make your money on.
Yeah, sure. Here's what we're gonna do for you guys. You know. Paul's gonna send us a link.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we're gonna let you have that link
we'll put
on
it
Facebook.
In our blog.
And you guys will be able to check it out too.
Absolutely.
Love it.
Absolutely.
Love it.
I'd love to see that.
And it was the actual family and in there. And
beautiful.
The little boy at the end that you'll see at the end. That's actually Tyler. He's the little kid who's now. He made it. He's
made
now a star young baseball player.
Wow.
He's very healthy. And he went through a lot of chemotherapy, about 18 months worth, but he made it.
That's fantastic.
He made it. It was great. It was a great, great story.
A true Hollywood ending.
Yeah.
Love it.
Tell us about the SAG Foundation, man.
The Screen Actors Guild Foundation. I was actually involved with them early on. There was a program called the Professional Actors Seminar, which we took all over to like 14 cities that I was involved with. Then there was a space where I wasn't. And then when I came back with the idea for the lab, they embraced it wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And the voiceover community raised about $250,000.
Yeah.
To build this lab, and then the foundation kicked in another $250,000. So that lab is a $500,000 facility. And they were just supportive from the get-go.
Yeah.
So, but that's not just what they do, is the voiceovers. They also have programs that are very involved in children's literacy. Mm. They have the Book Pals programs. They have programs, the John Dale Scholarship programs, which helps. The Catastrophic Health Fund, if actors should have something really major go wrong, you know, health-wise, yeah. There is a fund there that literally helps them to cover some of their expenses during
Fantastic.
These difficult times. The foundation has a lot of different programs.
Yeah.
You know, basically geared towards helping performers either develop their careers or sustain themselves in times of true crisis.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and we just had a golf tournament that was here, a celebrity golf tournament that raised $320,000.
Which is why you're nice and tan.
Towards catastrophic health.
Yeah.
I actually didn't get to play this year.
Oh, okay.
I played other.
Well, you're still
this
nice
is from
and tan,
my
man.
Palm Springs.
Oh, yeah. Palm Springs golf tournament.
Yeah. We had a lot of people show up and have for the last 4 years, and mm-hmm. Now there's another one being done in New York. But the foundation's a wonderful organization that's really dedicated, and they, like I said before, they're separate from the union.
Absolutely.
So being nonprofit, they're not tied into that, so their mandate's a little different. Mm-hmm. The charter's
right.
a little different, mm-hmm. and they're more there for charitable purposes. The Screen Actors Guild Awards, when they hold those, mm-hmm. all the proceeds, the profits from that, go to the Screen Actors Guild Foundation.
Oh, okay.
And it's grown tremendously over the years. It's got a very large corpus now, and where they're expanding their reach. And as I said, we're trying to build an actor center in New York, and
which
the voiceover part of it.
We need one.
Yeah. And to show you how paying it forward can pay off, we had a wonderful gift the other day from a woman whose family, her sister had just passed away. And they did an endowment of 25. They put a good endowment into the foundation, which is going to be invested. But the first gift is $25,000. Mm. That is going to the foundation. We had a little reception. And they came and they said one of the deciding factors for them was when they came to visit the Actors Center and they happened to get a tour of the voiceover lab because her sister was a fan of the arts and especially of voiceovers.
Wow.
So,
that was a deciding factor.
It comes around.
Yeah.
That was
you
one
see?
Of the things.
Absolutely.
That
Dawn is alive everywhere still.
Yeah.
Doing good, man.
Yeah. And she will be there.
Yeah,
I've actually
cool.
invited Joan to sit at my table at the poker tournament, and we'll let her know about everything that's going on voiceover-wise. But the family, that was one of the things, because she loved that, and so that was part of their, and their money's going to the Life Raft program and this program.
Beautiful.
Nice so people. Cool.
Terrific, terrific gift, and good example of how it keeps feeding it.
Yep.
And that's all we ask out of the voiceover actors that come to the lab. We just say, look, when the time comes and you're doing well, which hopefully you will be, you know, then it's your turn to come in and help
Absolutely.
This thing keep going.
Yeah.
Okay, Paul.
Paul.
You're a busy man, but we want you to pick a number between 5 and 129, please. And
I'll go with 9, which was my mother's
birthday.
Oh, I love that. Okay. If you had to name the one thing that most frightens you about growing old, what would it be?
It's funny we picked 9. My mother died from Alzheimer's disease at the age of 66 years old. Mm. She was 58 when she got it. And I worry that there won't be enough time, or something like that, if it's in the genes, there won't be enough time for me to communicate and do all the things and express all the things that I have to say, you know. So if I worry about anything, I worry about not having the ability to accomplish and convey all the things that I want to leave behind for better or worse or whatever they are, you know. So I would say that's probably it. You know, I had...
What a sweet guy.
You know,
I want to get up and kiss you right now.
No.
Sounds weird, right?
He goes,
He's
no,
like,
no.
What?
Yeah.
He
you
goes,
could resist that impulse.
I'm gonna, okay, I'm
going to
do it, man, but only because we're on national television.
Oh, it's national now.
International. We're on international TV, man. Dude, you're so cool, man.
Well, Chuck, you guys are doing a great
I will say for us and for many people watching that you have already done an enormous amount. Your imprint is big absolutely. And getting bigger. So
absolutely, and
thank you
and
for everything. Thanks for being here.
Thanks,
kiddo. Yeah. Welcome
you,
back.
You are the man, man. Thank you so much for coming on VO Buzz Weekly, sharing with us and sharing with our awesome viewers out there. And
we love you, Paulie. Yeah.
We are going to see you at that poker tournament.
We'll see you.
We're going to have some fun. We'll see you there too.
Okay. Hi, this is Paul Pape. I just got buzzed with Chuck and Stacy on VO Buzz Weekly. Doesn't get any better than that.
Well, I don't want this to end, do you?
No.
But we have to, because Paul is very busy. This is not all fun and games around here, ladies and gentlemen. But the good news is we will be back next week with another awesome show for you.
Yes, and we really hope we see you in August in L.A. at the poker tournament. Start practicing. Check out their website for all the details and for the Don LaFontaine Voiceover Lab to keep up with what they're doing. And make sure to keep up with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest at VO Buzz Weekly. Take care, everybody, and just remember,
you always have time for a little buzz.
Don't just listen to VO Buzz Weekly. Watch the show in stunning HD video at VOBuzzWeekly.com, on their YouTube channel, or on the app.
VO Buzz Weekly is sponsored by Chuck Duran's Demos That Rock. The voiceover demo producer to the stars is now available to you. Visit DemosThatRock.com and take your voiceover career to the next level.
See you next time. And remember, you always have time for a little buzz.